And a very good morning to you, my radio family. Adam Lepp here, sounding a little bit older than I sounded last time you heard from me. We'll get into the reason for that. We call this show a Fine-Er Mid-Morning Coffee Break with Adam and the Professor, as Dr. Ronald L. Fineman joins me to talk about politics, pandemics, presidents, and whatever else we can converse about, argue about, or otherwise delineate and discuss. So let me go ahead and see if I have properly installed the duct tape and super glue. And let's take a virtual trip to Boca Raton in Florida. Ron, are you there on this fine June 1st, Monday morning?
Yes, I am. And happy birthday, Adam.
Yes, I am 30 once again. I've been 30 so many times, I'm not sure I can remember.
Beam on.
Don't know if Donald Trump can count as high as my birthday, but, you know, my birthday's kind of gotten to be such a high number that I bet Donald Trump could actually golf this number. Maybe in 18 holes. I know I couldn't, but, you know, Donald,
well,
he
golfed. One thing is, you're already a member of AARP, aren't you? You told me, yeah?
You better believe it, yes.
I am too, yeah.
You know, I just read their magazine. But
I resisted until 55. I didn't want to admit it. So for 5 years, I didn't. Then I figured, why not? I get 10% off.
Why not? Why not? You get discounts and their magazine and all kinds of people trying to sell you whatever else they're trying to sell you. Of course, you can
always... It's a good magazine, though, yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's excellent. You know, what do you read when you go to the bathroom? That's what Joan Rivers used to say about the National Enquirer. You got to do something. So... ARP is good. It's
well,
light.
You like Donald Trump and tweet while you're on the potty.
Yeah, well, not quite. You know, I don't want to drop the phone in somewhere that I wouldn't want to retrieve it out of. So, but anyway, a broadcaster's work is never done. Anniversary of womb exit or not, we march on. And if you don't already know, my guest and brother in broadcasting, microphone mate, Dr. Ron Fineman, is a professor. He still professes in Florida. Teaching about presidentology, as I call it, history and politics, a lot of that of late.
Yes.
He writes a blog called theprogressiveprofessor.com, and he writes books, wrote a book about presidential assassinations that I'm reading, which we'll discuss at some time in the near future. He contributes to the History and News Network, and sometimes he's also on with the interviewer to the stars, Mr. Scott Spears. But today he joins me. Want to let you folks know, before we dive into today's extravaganza, as you probably know, over the weekend, there was some unfortunate events in the capital city of Columbus, as well as in many major cities in Ohio, Cincinnati, Dayton, and others, and around the country, due to the very tragic murder of Mr. George Floyd in Minneapolis by former police officer Derek Chauvin and some accomplices. Obviously, that circumstance is very tragic. Will go down, I think, as one of the most tragic incidents in history, perhaps the most extreme example of unwarranted police brutality, certainly in my lifetime, maybe in the history of this great country. But the other issue is that people are protesting, but not doing it in a way that people like Martin Luther King or Rosa Parks would. They're vandalizing, stealing, defacing property. And many people, including people that are very well educated, I'm shocked. As you can hear the trembling in my voice, I'm shocked that they are condoning or encouraging this. And shocked is probably too light of a word. I would say disgusted and repulsed.
Yeah, I must intervene, though, to say that quite a bit of this, from what I'm hearing and reading, is right-wing people who are trying to stir up a civil war. And apparently this happened in Minneapolis, where this guy in a truck was ramming through an area. I don't know how many people got hurt. But it reminds me of what happened that time in Virginia, in Charlottesville. So there is hate on both the left and the right, but it's not just on the left. It's
In Columbus, I agree, and we're not going to downplay that, but in Columbus, I can assure you it is people who are on the very left end of the political spectrum, for the most part, who believe that it's okay just to deface property to make a point that nothing gets done
without
the violence, without making a scene. And that's not true. It's not cool. And again, the Columbus police officers, although there are bad apples there, as in all police departments, they didn't do it. And the great people of Columbus, the great business owners who are suffering enough due to the COVID issue, they need to suffer more. People have said, okay, well, you can replace windows, you can replace property, but you can't replace a person's life. Well, what I say to that is, duh, of course not. But that's not a fair comparison. You know, I love analogies, as you know. That's a very convoluted and fallacious analogy. I wouldn't even call it an analogy because it's so ridiculous. There's a big difference, my friends, and I encourage people to act responsibly. As we'll talk about next hour, Ron, Dr. King is turning over in his grave right now, and Rosa Parks, she's not too happy either as they sit around the coffee table and in heaven, being appalled by this. And it's really a shame because Dr. Martin Luther King, I mean, we have a holiday for the guy. He is the face of activism and protest and change in this country. And this isn't something that he would condone. I can assure you, he wouldn't condone this. He wouldn't recommend it. He wouldn't participate in it. And I think the people that are condoning this and are doing it, they need to open up a history book. And as Ron and I will discuss, people that are vandalizing, stealing, trespassing, throwing things at police officers, they're criminals. No, they aren't murderers.
And also,
but
some cases, they're victimizing stores owned by people of their race, too.
Exactly.
That's what's
amazing. There's the irony. They don't seem to care. They had an owner of a downtown restaurant in Columbus on the news a couple days ago, a middle-aged black gentleman, showing the windows that were broken. It's really a shame. You feel for these people. I don't understand the logic of it. I'm all for protests. Again, the mayor, the governor, they're saying we encourage protesting. We encourage it to be done properly. Again, there's a reason why we have a holiday for Martin Luther King. Maybe people should open up a history book and understand how it should be done. Throwing objects at police officers, breaking store windows. It's not how it's done, folks. And it's, as I've said, you can hear the trembling in my voice. This isn't something I want to be talking about on what is otherwise a happy day for myself. You know, every day we wake up, Ron, is a gift. I lost my father during my...
Oldie, you think about it. You don't think everybody's young.
Yeah,
you
I lost my father last year. As you know, I have no living parents or grandparents, and there are medical issues and other things going around right now. I wake up every morning, and I'm thankful that I'm breathing, I'm healthy, and I'm still cute, you know? And so that's not going it's not really going to change.
So you say.
beauty is in the eye of the beer holder.
I guess you say nobody else will, right?
Exactly. Well, you know, that's kind of how it is. But anyway, let's hope we can learn from this experience. And as we'll talk about next hour, Ron, I believe, again, I'm not a criminologist. I don't know the entire circumstance, but I've seen enough. And if it were my decision, the electric chair would be the place that I would situate Mr. Chauvin.
Yeah, the problem with that is, of course, can there be a, quote, fair trial, a jury trial, since everybody knows about this and people have seen those
right.
videos.
I don't know. I mean, the criminal justice system is messed up. You and I both know, Ron, that he will have some fancy lawyer who will probably do it pro bono. He'll get what will amount to a slap on the wrist, you know, 2 years in jail, protective custody, and 5 years in probation. Ridiculous. Spending millions of dollars of taxpayers' money. And that's very bad. And yes, that's what people are protesting about because they aren't stupid. They know that he's not going to get a just penalty. But you don't protest by breaking store windows of innocent businesses, by throwing things at police officers. The same police officers that'll protect you if you're the victim of a crime. I mean, come on. There are ways that it can be done. Exactly. Think about what Dr. King would do. I assure you, he wouldn't do that. And it's kind of a shame. But again,
well, John Lewis, the congressman, who's the last, I think, person who was involved in the Martin Luther King marches and is in his 80s, he spoke up and talked about calm and peace and please don't do this kind of thing. Yeah.
Again, we're going to talk about that, Ron, next hour. So we will let people hopefully keep their radio virtual listening device on, because the next hour show will be a good one. I want to let you know we taped it on Saturday, 10 p.m., which was the time that the Columbus curfew went into place. So I had to be in my home office, which is in the north end of Columbus, because I wasn't allowed to leave the house. So I figured it would be a good time to tape a radio show. So we do encourage folks to listen. It'll be an interesting one. And again, provide your comments. If you don't agree with me, that's fine. Send me an email, adam@wwgh1071.com. Ron, in this program, we talk about, of course, the primaries, about the COVID-19 issue, presidential history. Sometimes we argue about a few things, so maybe we can debate, have a friendly debate among friends. It's been about 2.5 weeks, Ron, since I got my hair done. And
I'm going to get my hair done on tomorrow, Tuesday, yes. So after 12 weeks, I'm finally getting a haircut.
I want to let you know I'm still living, and I understand the incubation period for COVID. They're not totally sure, but it's between 3 and 14 days, which I would tend to agree with. I don't have any symptoms, so I guess it was safe, and I'm glad to hear that, because, you know, I said I'm still cute. I don't get older. I get better. I have gone to multiple restaurants. I was going to go out for a beer or two on Saturday night. Of course, that wasn't possible due to the curfew, but I'm sure sometime in the near future, a Miller Lite will have my name on it. Also gone to some restaurants, and of course, most prominently, I have worked out several times. In fact, today is when my main gym, LA Fitness, reopens after 2.5 months. I joined another gym in my neighborhood that I really like, which I may even keep, but I have a month to worry about it. So I've been going there for the last week. And Ron, I'll let you know I'm still living. You can hear I kind of sound the same.
And that's just a ghost.
All is well. Now, yeah. We don't really see eye to eye. We see partially eye to eye on how serious this crisis is and precautions that we should take, and what are the ramifications of closing these businesses. Now, online, Ron, you have, I don't want to beat around the bush, you have aggravated me, to put it mildly, multiple times by accusing me of being selfish, telling that all I care about is getting my hair cut and going to my precious gym and going to a buffet, the casino, etc. The buffets and casinos aren't open right now, but I mean, imagine sometime in the future they will be. But gyms have opened of late, and restaurants, taverns, hair salons, etc. And what I've said is, well, yes, I do want to get my hair done. However, I also want to give my money to my hairstylist, because, like myself, he's a small business owner, and he didn't like having to sit at home for 2 months, not being able to cut anybody's hair, not being able to pay his rent and utilities, not being able to buy stuff for his two daughters. Well, now we can. And I guess, interestingly, he's been doing for me very busy, and I think he will be for quite a while. And, you know, he's a little expensive, but it's worth it because, as I said, I'm still cute, and Joe, the hairstylist, is part of the reason why. And hopefully, he will never have to worry about a forced shutdown anytime in the future. In addition, the restaurants and bars that I go to are, for the most part, locally owned, and I feel for these business operators. And so I don't understand, Ron, why you think that I'm selfish, because I want to go to a bar or a restaurant or a hair salon. It's more feeling for my small business owners. I think you would agree that small business is what makes this company great.
Point out that in World War II, we had a lot of sacrifice. People are not willing to sacrifice. I'm not talking about the owners. I'm talking about you and me people. Now, I understand the ownership side. But serious sacrifice is doing without things for a period when it endangers others. And that's why people are supposed to wear face masks.
Well, if I sacrifice and don't go to a restaurant, they lose business. Now, the hair salon is a little different because he's going to be busy regardless of whether or not I go there. So that, yeah. I don't agree, but at least there's a little bit of a difference there. But when I've gone to restaurants, and I can think of one breakfast restaurant that I've gone to, and I've gone there the last couple Sundays. I would normally not go there on a Sunday because it's so popular. There's a line out the door, and it's very busy. And, you know, I'm one of those people who said, I did social distancing before social distancing was cool. I don't like to be close to people that I don't know, unless I know them.
This is now,
I don't want to be close
to them. social distancing, does it? So everybody's on top of each other.
Well, right now, I mean, I've gone the last two Sundays. It's been about a quarter of capacity, no wait. And yes, it's nice that I can go there on a Sunday. But 2 months ago, Ron, well, I guess more like 3 or 4 months ago, there'd be a line out the door because it was so popular.
Yeah.
And now we're talking to getting 10% at most of their clientele. And I think a lot of it is people are just afraid to go. Again, I believe the media has totally blown this out of proportion. Me and Ron, we'd agree partially, but I don't think agree too much on that. And the problem is that these businesses are going to find themselves out of business. Now, I did post on Facebook a popular restaurant and bar in southwestern Ohio that I've done IT support for, both the restaurant itself and the owner and his family, for about 10 years off and on. The owner decided to close, and he feels there are too many regulations.
Yeah.
He just can't turn a profit. The 2.5 months of being closed wasn't good, and he's going to leave the business. And he's been, I mean, he's in his 30s. I mean, he's a young man. He's been in the restaurant and bar business ever since he was a grown-up. Now he's looking to change careers. He's smart and resourceful and a go-getter. He will succeed. But it's really a shame when your dream, you put your life, your wallet, all your time and effort into a business, and it has to shut down, not because you did anything wrong. That's what I'm talking about, Ron. And I don't feel that his customers are being selfish because they want to go out and have a beer. They want to socialize. I feel for them, of course. Again, humans, even if you're socially awkward like I am, humans are social animals. But we also want to promote local businesses, and there's no selfishness.
Can't argue with you on that, and that really saddened me when I saw that posting by you. Yeah.
And it's horrible. And
I'm just worried about the second wave that's supposed to come, and based on the 1918-1919, it's going to come, and it could be much worse, and probably everything will have to shut down again.
Something
that's
else
what I'm worried about.
Yeah, we've talked about what is the extent of the COVID issue. And will there be a second wave? And one thing, I may have surprised you, Ron, you said, well, you think it's over, you can go to the gym, you can go for a beer. No, it's not over, and it's not going to be over for a while. And one thing I've also done of late is I didn't, you know, I don't want to sound arrogant, but if I do, well, that's how it is sometimes. A little healthy arrogance is okay. I have a lot of knowledge of particle science. The school I went to, Clarkson University, look it up, is the premier school, arguably the best school in the country, if not the world, for colloid and particle science. And anything related to droplets in the air or some other medium, I did work on silver colloids, small particles of silver suspended in a liquid, and that in spectroscopy. If you fellow science people out there know what that is, but you can look me up online. I actually have my articles that I published in Chemical Abstracts, and you can read them if you wish.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, I didn't just fall off a computer keyboard yesterday. But the bottom line is, no, I don't know as much about particle science as the professors that I studied with and were colleagues of, but I can assure you I know quite a bit. And
yeah, one thing I found shocking is when they say, if you're speaking, you know, what comes out of your mouth goes 14 feet.
Exactly. And that's the kind of thing that
that
I studied. And something called droplet nuclei.
Every time I'm in a class, I can be spreading it to students.
Well,
exactly.
You don't have to cough or sneeze, or even, again, snore, clear your throat, yawn. You do spit a little bit when you talk. I know I do. You always do a little bit. It's natural. And if there is a virus,
that's not good.
It comes out of your mouth while you're talking. And, of course, while you're breathing. And I'm not like some people who say, well, this virus doesn't exist. The media is hyping it.
To the
point of it doesn't even exist. I'm saying they hype it, but it does exist. But they've blown it out of proportion. I'm saying it exists. It is very contagious. And in many cases, it's very dangerous, if not fatal. In my opinion, Ron, I've undoubtedly been exposed to it. I don't see how I couldn't be. I'm in a large city. You know, I do stuff. Yes, I'm always careful. But again, I'm always careful around not picking up germs anyway. I'm a bit of a germaphobe. I mean, like Jerry Seinfeld or even Donald Trump, ironically, he's known as a germaphobe. So I've always been like that. But also, if you are around some germs, you can help develop an immunity. It kind of goes both ways. You just have to do it in the appropriate fashion. Now, in terms
of the problem is just so microscopic, and you can't see the germs. That's the problem.
Yeah, well, they're invisible.
Yeah.
In terms of the particle science, I know, I would say much more that people say I know enough to be dangerous about something. Like I would say, as a property owner, I know enough about heating and cooling to be dangerous. I know the terms, I know how things work, but I don't know how to install a furnace. But I understand the process and understand why certain things are built in a certain way. But I know much more than enough to be dangerous about particle science, suspensions, colloids, stuff in the air. And one thing that's come up with me, Ron, is the false sense of security. We have statistics that say exactly how much does a mask protect you or protect the people that you come in contact with. I believe the statistic that if you wear a bandana or a similar mask, and of course every single mask is different, so this is only a generalization, it protects about 30% outgoing. That means if I talk to you and I wear a bandana over my mouth and nose, and some people don't wear it over their nose, which makes it almost pointless, it's about a 30% less,
with it on. That's
right, less transmission than if I weren't wearing one. But also it keeps the germs inside the bandana. People sneeze or cough, and who knows where that residue goes. My opinion, it's arguably, again, it's an arguable point, arguably worse than nothing at all. And N95 does work, but again, people touch their face, especially me. You know, I'm neurotic. I touch my face. I keep adjusting it because it isn't comfortable. And you do harbor those germs inside the mask, and you're not quite sure where they're going to go. But I would think in the case of an N95, the good does outweigh the bad. And surgical
masks.
It's
hard to get those, and they're expensive, aren't they?
Right. Well, they probably were more easily acquired, but before this issue occurred. But they're what's designed, again, N95, meaning about 95% effectiveness, and they also work incoming. And as I see it, wearing something like a bandana, which is what I'm seeing most people using, I mean, they've kind of become a style. A style issue, and yes, if you're wearing it, just like you wear a hat or a tie, yeah, you want it to kind of coordinate, maybe show your favorite sports team, etc. But when you're talking about 30, let's even say 50% effectiveness, because some people wear something thicker than a bandana, that does help a little bit. However, it does also give a false sense of security. People thinking, okay, well, I'm wearing a mask, I'm not going to catch it. Well, that isn't quite the case. And again, people not wearing the masks properly, taking them off to talk, etc. So the whole mask thing is kind of ridiculous. You know, everybody has a different opinion. As you can probably tell, Ron, I'm a non-mask person. But let me say this, because you've posted stuff like this on Facebook. There are stores that require a mask. And I'm not the type to, as you can tell by my discussion of the protest, I'm not one to go ahead and just make a big protest, even though I might talk about it on Facebook or among some friends and people like yourself. Three stores that come to mind: Costco, Micro Center, and Menards, all of which I'm a frequent shopper of. They require a mask. And so when I go in there, I wear a mask. I'm not happy about it. I don't really think it makes much of a difference, but I'll deal with it. Like going to a bar that has a certain dress code. If you don't like the dress code, it is a private business. You are free to take your business somewhere else. I will say that I've not shopped as much of those three stores as I have previously, and I like to browse, so my browsing has kind of been abbreviated. If I have to go to the bathroom, I'll go to the bathroom somewhere else beforehand, just to try to make the visit quick, because I don't like masks, and I question how effective they are, but I just deal with it because those stores offer so much to me. And you posted, Ron, about, I think it was a restaurant somewhere that says no masks allowed. And I guess you were kind of upset by that. My opinion is, as long as it's a private business, they have a right to say no masks allowed, just like they can say no baseball caps, no body piercings, you know, no long hair, you know, whatever. As long as you're not saying no black people, gay people, women, people with a wheelchair, etc. And I'm not implying that whatsoever. I mean, that's obviously something different. But if a store or other private business says no masks, I feel they have a right to do that. And of course, if you want to protest peacefully about that, do it. We have social media, which is how it's often done. And you basically did that in your posting. But again, as a mature person, Ron, you will not throw rocks at the store. You will go ahead and talk about it on Facebook and talk about it among other people and probably not patronize that place if it were in your local area. But as far as I see it, a business has a right to say no mask, no service. And a business has a right to say wear a mask, take your business elsewhere. Now, do you think I'm being...
Now, what about the case about bakers who will not do a cake for a gay couple? That's been a big case over the
right.
years, too.
And that one's a touchy subject. My opinion is that they have a right to do that. It's not the same as a doctor, an emergency room doctor being a prime example, saying, well, I'm not going to operate on this person because he is gay, black, female, uses a wheelchair, etc. That is totally different. A bakery is a private business that uses its talent to produce a product. Now, for one thing, if they don't like gay people, well, that's stupid. I agree. They're prejudiced and they're stupid. We don't disagree on that. I think you would agree, Ron. They're likely not to put as much of an effort into it if they don't like the customer. Whereas if it's the kind of person that they like, so to speak, they're likely to do a better job. So why would the gay couple want to go to somewhere that doesn't even like them and isn't going to put their best effort into it? Are they trying to prove a point? See, my thought is, you know, I admire their tenacity. I'm not questioning that at all. And I agree, this bakery is stupid. They're prejudiced. They aren't Christian because that's not what God teaches.
But they claim they are. That's what's annoying, you know.
That's a matter of opinion. I think Ron and I would agree on that one. But I think ironically, and I think we'd agree on this also, Ron, they're going to get more business because they're not the only business or people that feel that way. It's unfortunate, but that's how it is. And it is part of free speech. You don't have to like gay people, but I think if you don't, you're not a very nice person or a very logical person, but that is your right. That's free speech. It's part of what we do here in this great country. And I think they will attract business of people who agree with them, other people who are closed-minded. And that kind of defeats the purpose and kind of a shame. So in that case, yeah, I'm under the premise of free speech and a case-by-case decision of where can you decline someone's business, I side with the bakery, but I am sympathetic of the couple because it's embarrassing for them, and it's a shame that they have to share the world with a business that's closed-minded, and out of a better way to say it, stupid. But that is kind of how I feel. I think it's a protection of free speech. And it isn't like other cases where you do have to provide services to someone, even if you don't like that person's demographic or even that person's way of thinking.
What about like Hobby Lobby and Chick-fil-A? They're so, quote, Christian that they tend to work against gays as well. You
know? And again, they are a private company, just like the restaurant that says no mask, no service, or wear a mask, you know, leave.
Yeah.
They have a right to have their opinions, donate to businesses and organizations that feel the same way they do. And if someone does not agree with how they decide to donate and the opinions that they have of people who are different than they are, you have a right to take your business elsewhere. And also, as human beings, I think we have a right to be a little hypocritical. I don't agree with what Chick-fil-A stands for. I don't agree that they're being closed on Sunday. I don't really see that as being something that's Christian. Now, that's a question. That's a tricky topic because, yes, God rested on Sunday. But I think God also appreciates people who are hard workers. We could also argue that that is a slight to people who are Jewish who don't celebrate Sunday the same way that Christian people do. That's debatable, but I would tend to feel that way also. But again, you can take your business elsewhere. You can say, well, I'll go to Chick-fil-A. I'm not proud of it, but I just like their food. Me, I don't really eat at Chick-fil-A anyway, but I know that their food is very good. And I'm not going to malign someone who eats there. Because honestly, I think as human beings, we have a right to be hypocritical. And as we said before, Ron, if I were to take every business that I've patronized and take a look at where they donate, how they feel, what the owners think, I don't think I'd have any businesses to patronize because every single one, I would have something to complain about. I think we can agree on that one.
A lot of doctors seem to be Republicans, and, you know, I just keep my mouth shut because I think I need the doctor. I'm not going to argue with him about my views.
Yeah, I mean, a doctor is a professional, understands, well, I'm going to have customers, patients, they're kind of like customers, who don't agree with me politically or in other issues, but I'm a professional. I will all treat them well. But then we get to something else. You know, if we want to talk about this, Ron, we get to other things about doctors. What about a plastic surgeon? That is and not a plastic surgeon who fixes someone due to a car accident or something. A plastic surgeon doing vanity surgery, Botox or a facelift or liposuction or one of those kind of things. That doctor says, well, I don't want to provide you with liposuction, Mr. Smith, because you're gay and I don't like gay people. Does that doctor have a right to do that? What do you think, Ron? Is that like the bakery incident, or is that more like an emergency room doctor?
I don't know. I don't know why anybody does that. By the way, as you're talking about liposuction and the whole issue of plastic surgery, I've gathered from looking online, there's somebody pretty well known who apparently they think by looking at his face, his, not her, that he definitely has had it. Jared Kushner, they're saying they think has had plastic surgery because his face looks different. I think that's fascinating.
Well, I'm sure Jared Kushner, the lovely Melania, that they've all had plastic surgery, but as Americans, that's their right. But let me ask you this, Ron. If a plastic surgeon...
Having plastic surgery? It's not a woman even, you know.
But I mean, if... Well, a lot of men have it. I mean, it's not something that women just get anymore. And again, there is plastic surgery associated with an accident or a birth defect. That's different. I'm talking about vanity plastic surgery. A person wanting a facelift so he or she looks younger. And the doctor says, Mr. Jones, I don't want to give you plastic surgery, even though the plastic surgery is a very lucrative item for doctors. I don't want to give this to you, Mr. Jones, because you're gay. I don't like gay people. Is that okay? Is that like the bakery thing, or is that more like the emergency room doctor who, under the Hippocratic Oath and under basic ethics of life and medicine, must provide services to anybody presented to him or her? Do you think that's
I don't know, because what if the person is black, forgetting being gay, or he was Jewish, and he didn't want to do it for a Jew or a black? It's a little touchy
It is.
Gay.
And where do we draw the line? Does the bakery say, I don't want to bake a cake because I don't like black people? Well, then it gets really hairy. You know, to me, it would be hypocritical. Well, any business has a right to deny services, but even that is a very slippery slope. Now, certainly, Walmart or any other store has no business discriminating against anybody. And I'm not by any means saying that there is any similarity. But the baking a cake issue, where do you draw that line? And how does a bakery say, well, I will choose not to bake a cake for you, and I'm not going to tell you why I'm not going to do it? It's a tricky issue. But one thing I would say is, again, is if the bakery doesn't have an affinity for the people requesting their services, they're not going to do a very good job. Just like an artist drawing someone's picture, a photographer, again, we could talk about a photographer doing a same-sex wedding. I mean, that's like the cake issue. That's an art. And if you don't put your heart into it because you don't agree with the people and their demographic, you probably wouldn't be a good choice for them. You know, wedding's a once-in-a-lifetime event. You want someone to do a good job. And same thing with the plastic surgeon. Plastic surgery is an art. So where is that line drawn? All I can say, Ron, is it isn't always obvious, but the bakery thing, I'm not, again, I want to make sure I clarify this. I think the bakers are stupid, close-minded, and not very Christian, and in general, unpleasant people, but they have a right to say that, in my opinion. And so I'll side with them. But I do have sympathy for the couple, because it's a shame that they have to be treated that way. But we have to uphold the rights of people and uphold the rights of free speech. And you know, it's a difficult topic, not one that's pleasant, but that is kind of how I feel. And I guess we'll just leave it at that.
Well, it's also the free speech is fine as long as you don't hurt someone else in the process, meaning involved in violence or bloodshed.
Yeah, and maybe that's a lesson that the people in Columbus and other cities should take, because they obviously didn't study that in school or as grown-ups. Now, Ron is the author of the blog, The Progressive Professor, An Educated View from the Left, theprogressiveprofessor.com, which we encourage you to bookmark. If you don't like it, you know, if it's your own house and your own computer, throw a rock at it. Throw a rotten egg at it. It's your house, your computer.
Well, throw a rock because you might break the screen of the computer.
If it's your computer, that's fine, but don't throw a rock or a rotten egg at someone else's computer. That's something else I think the looters in Columbus and other cities should heed. So on last Sunday, Ron, May 31st, you write, right-wing extremists taking advantage and provoking violence and protest about George Floyd murder nationally. Now, and again, I don't think this is happening as much in Ohio, but in other places, we have left and right. Maybe that's part of what we call politics making strange bedfellows. I don't know.
Yes.
indicate Donald Trump is trying to exploit the situation and his Attorney General William Barr is an eager collaborator. One thing is clear,
they see a lot of the people who have been arrested are people who don't live in whatever location they found. So they are coming from elsewhere, a lot of them. And I wonder if there's some kind of a Russian connection or other foreign connection as well. I think we need more research on that over time.
We've kind of covered the face mask issue ad nauseum, so we'll skip the blog entry that he wrote on Friday of last week. There are both sides, Ron. I think you see both sides and see what I'm getting at. And I talk about there's junk science, there's real science, and there's conjecture.
And let me just point out, though, on Friday I pointed out, get this, Mitch McConnell sees no reason not to, and even Sean Hannity of Fox News Channel has now seen the idea of using a face mask, along with Dr. Jerome Adams, the Surgeon General,
Not really a Democrat-Republican issue. To me, as an independent, a bit of a libertarian, that's probably the best way to describe me, because libertarian being a mindset, not really a set of issues where you agree one way or agree the other. You kind of agree with in the free speech liberties that we have as law-abiding, mature Americans. I don't like the idea of it being forced. I don't like the idea of businesses being forced to close. If you don't feel safe, don't patronize these businesses or stay at home. In Ohio, Ron, I know it's different in other states, 70% of deaths from COVID have been in nursing homes. And people in nursing homes obviously have other medical conditions. Again, I'm not saying that...
I do a lot of lectures, not now, but I have at senior citizen locations, and now I found out that quite a few people, one of the places, have died, and I never really thought about that it was actually probably not good to be in an environment where there's so many people close together. I never thought about it. Yeah. So now I don't even know if I would want to go to such a place. I'd rather stay in my home,
About nursing homes, they're not a place that is conducive to good health, and I've probably told you the story before. My great-grandmother, she stayed with my great-aunt and became more frail and ill, but not so frail or ill that I think this was necessary. They put her in a nursing home. She passed away maybe 6 months later. I think she would have lived 5 years if she wasn't in the nursing home. And that nursing home was clean. It was one of the good ones. That's kind of what happens, and it's unfortunate.
Maybe it's meant... Also, they lose interest when they lose what they know.
It is, and it's a negative atmosphere. It's very tragic. I see that. It's like, I don't know what to say, because my own experience is that I can't see positives in being in a nursing home, and this further accentuates that, and it really is very tragic. And as maybe we've kind of bantered about, Ron, the virus isn't going away, and I think it'll be around indefinitely, whether or not we can even control it, because it can mutate. But good health, that's the best defense. That's why I believe a gym is an essential business. Stay healthy. I'm not saying that there are 30-year-old people who have contracted the virus and become very ill or even passed away, but not many. As I see it, your mortality is more at risk driving to the gym or driving down the highway. Especially in the last few days.
There's been children. There's this new problem with children, a different kind of reaction. Little kids,
Children's bodies are different. I don't want to lighten the severity of this problem, but I believe it's being looked at in many cases with some convoluted logic. And again, the impact of the economy. I mentioned the business in southwestern Ohio, but they're not the only one. And is it a case, Ron, where the cure is worse than the problem? Or is the cure really a cure?
Yes, but also, what about the fact that so many people of color, more than whites, are getting sick and dying? That's so tragic, too,
What I would say, and again, this is where I'm not an expert like I am with particle science. I mean, almost an expert. I would say not quite an expert, but fairly knowledgeable on particle science. I'm not as knowledgeable on this topic, but my opinion is there is more diabetes and high blood pressure among black people. That's a known statistic. And diabetes and high blood pressure are comorbidity factors. That's my answer, which is not scientific, I don't claim to be. It's not scientific like my assessment of masks and transmission methodologies, but that's kind of what I thought. And it is unfortunate.
Also interesting is Asian Americans are lower, I think, than whites. And also look at Vietnam. Vietnam has no deaths. Very few cases. Imagine Vietnam and Japan, which is a very crowded country of a few islands, has had a very small number of deaths. And is one reason why are they not having what we have?
My non-scientific assessment is that Asian diets are more healthy. I may joke about my affinity for Chinese buffets and Asian food, but in seriousness, Asian food is very healthy. Japanese food, they eat a lot of fish. Fish is brain food. It's health food.
But imagine Vietnam triumphing over the U.S. years after the Vietnam War.
That would be my not-so-scientific assessment. But that's kind of what I think.
About Vietnam being no death at all, only about 800 cases.
And something else, you know, that's obvious, social distancing is certainly not being followed during these protests. Now, the protesters in Columbus and other cities, they are a diverse bunch, but they're mostly young people. 20s to mid-30s, and that would be...
Now, what if there isn't much more spread? What's going to explain that?
Well, would be my theory that unless you have a comorbidity factor, which includes being older, and older means 70 or 80, it doesn't mean late middle age, it means advanced age, that you either are more resistant to it, or if you get it, the symptoms will be so mild you won't even notice. So we'll find out. I would tend to think that it's not going to make a big difference. I might be wrong. Again, I'm just a goofy chemistry major, but when the chemistry relates to particle science like it does here, I become a little more than a goofy chem major. I become a knowledgeable amateur scientist. And so
but
we will find
out. If these young people involved in these demonstrations do get sick much more with the COVID-19, then it's going to cause a general panic.
Right. And it will certainly be interesting to find out. And I don't know. Every day, Ron, we get surprised by what happens when we go to a news website, turn on the news, or open up the paper. So I don't want to make too many predictions, because whatever I predict is probably going to be wrong. So as my mama always said, Ron, time flies when you're having fun. And sure enough, our show is about ready to come to a conclusion. But we did cover quite a bit of issues. A very healthy debate. I mean, more I provide a point and then you talk about it. Difficult issues, again, the cake baking incident and similar scenarios. Kind of hard to say, and you have to say things you really aren't proud of sometimes, but that's kind of how life can be. Want to invite people, although we do repeat this show, if you're listening to the original broadcast on Monday the 1st between 10:15 a.m. and 11 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time. Next hour, we will talk exclusively about the riots in Columbus and other cities and the George Floyd murder. And that's what it is. It's a murder. And I'm disgusted by it, but I'm also disgusted by the protesters.
Let me say one more thing about Seattle. There was a case of a cop doing the knee to a suspect and stopped by others complaining. So there's somebody else was copying it in the last day after this event. So that's shocking.
Well, I don't think that Derek Chauvin should be anybody's role model. Again, he should be in the electric chair right now and never heard from or seen again, because I'm disgusted sharing the same species, being a fellow Homo sapiens, because...
And his wife is divorcing him now, too.
Well, good. You know, she's a young, attractive female.
And by the way, his wife is Asian American, from Laos, which I thought, wow, so it's not an issue about that his wife is white. That's why it's so complex. And apparently they both worked at the same nightclub as bouncers on a second job, but they don't seem to have known each other. But that's weird, too. Maybe they did know each other. Maybe they had bad blood between them. I don't know. It's a lot to learn still.
It's a small and unusual world, isn't it, Ron? And that's why we always have so much fun on this program. So again, folks, after the 11 o'clock features, Ron and I will be back to talk about the George Floyd murder and the riots in Columbus and other areas. So we invite you to listen. Again, please bookmark and read Ron's blog, theprogressiveprofessor.com, and go to my radio station webpage, WWGH 107.1 FM. Bookmark it. Comment on it. Decide you don't like it, if that's the case. Share it with your friends. And if you wish to communicate with me, I have a private email server, but unlike Hillary, I don't delete any messages. I read every single one of them. Adam@WW.
Well, that's also not totally true, as you know, but that was what was claimed.
Right. Well, I don't know. I wasn't there. Adam@WWGH1071.com. Feel free to wish me a happy birthday, because it happens once
a
year.
Happy birthday again, and thanks again for inviting me.
I don't get older. I get better, so I'm obviously very good at this point. Thank you again, Ron, for joining us here on The Talking Place, WWGH Radio.